Welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast, where it's all about solving the challenges of living with allergies so you can be more confident and stay allergy safe. Here's your host. Her favorite childhood toy was a pink bear called Teddy Battenberg. No nuts included, Nina Modak.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. This is Nina and today I have the second part of my interview with my mum on our allergy journey. Last week, my mum and I talked about when my mum discovered my allergy, which was purely by accident and completely unexpected. And she talked me through how she dealt with the shock of it and dealing with the early years, because we found out about my allergy when I was 9 months old. So there was no internet back then and there were no mobile phones. And my mum was on her own when she found out and had to rush me to the chemist, called the doctor to figure out what's going on and get me some medicine so that I was better. So she talked me through all her experiences and how she felt shocked out of her socks and what she did next. So today, my mum and I are continuing on our allergy journey and we'll be talking about how my parents raised me and the approach they took with other people, as well as teaching me to own my allergy. Now, I know talking to other people about allergies and making them take it seriously is a really big issue. I mean, if you're leaving your child in the care of someone else, and also as you get older, you need to be able to talk to other people and tell them about your allergy. And this is especially when it comes to family. And family, some of them can be great. Other times, they may not take you seriously. And because they're your family, it makes it all the more stressful trying to make them understand. So my mum today is going to talk me through all the things she did to make other people aware, such as school teachers in my primary and my secondary school, parents of kids I was friends with, as well as how she made sure my family took it seriously. So without further ado, let's get going with part two.
Let's move on to primary school.
Yes, you were the first. Oh, primary school, yes. You were the first child there with an allergy that they had to take seriously.
Yeah, then school went nut-free, didn't they?
Yeah. Fortunately for me, another girl in exactly the same situation joining your class at the same time.
Yes.
But we'd applied before you, before her. So they had to take it seriously. And I was delighted there was another nut child sufferer. Only from the point of view that we could say, look, this is not unusual anymore. There's two of them. You really have to do something. You really have to take special notice. And they did. They did step up their game. Mm. They were very good. And I had no worries or challenges at the school. But they just have to take it seriously. And they just know exactly in very clear, plain, graphic detail what they have to do if you are exposed to the nuts. And it was the harder thing to get the mums not to put peanuts into the lunch boxes. And it was only when the school went nut free, they were no longer allowed to do it. And that was probably because of me and the other mums saying, look, their children won't die, but if you accidentally get a nut in your food, you could. So they actually decided to ban it.
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember much later in our schooling, that we'd be sitting at the lunch table, and if there was a kid with a peanut butter sandwich, the dinner lady was told and the kid was taken off, and all the kids knew you're not allowed a peanut butter sandwich or like Nutella or anything like that. And that kid with the nut sandwich was taken off to the nurse's office to eat their sandwich and their lunch in the nurse's office and then wash their hands and wash their mouth, and then they were allowed out to play. Yeah, I remember. And
yeah.
So how was it, like, telling the school about my allergy? Was it a request? Was it, like...
You know, Actually, it was all schools at that time, like your playgroup, had forms to fill in because they had to have medical care over you. So if there was an accident, they needed the doctor's address and everything. And do you have any allergies? I mean, they'd been used to children having milk allergies and other kinds of allergies, but nuts was new to the school. So I put it on the list, nuts, and that was one more thing for them to deal with. How was it for me? It was a process that they went through, and I don't know how they felt about it, but they catered for you.
And how did you and Dad feel about it, sending me off to school with my nut allergy and with the school?
That was fine, because the school had actually invited myself and the other mother and our husbands to come to the training day that all the staff were having on how to identify an anaphylactic attack and how to deal with it. So I was fully confident that there would be at least one person out of the 20 staff in the room who would actually know what to do. And the fact that they were all teachers means they've got a certain minimum level of intelligence, which means they probably should be able to understand all the instructions. So even if only half of them got it, there would at least be two or three people on site at the right time to deal with you. And I'd seen the training. They were very transparent about it, the training they were getting. They said, and we're having a refresher in 6 months' time too, if you would like to come to that as well. And that gave me great confidence. And I think it's every parent's right, or every carer's right, of an allergy child, all the training sessions that schools give to their staff about how your child's allergy would be handled should it happen.
You know, that's, I don't know whether that happens, but having parents at allergy training probably would benefit the school greatly. Really greatly. Because
yes. And also the parents' comfort level will be grown.
Yeah. And how, so at this stage, I mean, at starting school, I was about 4 or 5. What sort of, how was I with managing my allergy at that point?
Well, it was like tying your shoelaces. Mm-hmm. It was just something you had to do.
To what?
You didn't know other children didn't need to do it. Mm-hmm. You knew Jacob didn't have a nut allergy.
Yeah.
But it was just part of your life.
Okay.
And I just said to you in very simple language, we have to be careful about some of the foods you eat, Nina, because if it has nuts in it, it might make you very sick.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I said. And as your understanding and your vocabulary grew, so did my discussion about it. And it was something we did talk about regularly as you were growing up.
And then, so what, how did you bring it up from when I was really small, like playgroup to primary school?
I think because I treated it as a normal part of your life, you did. I can't think of how else to talk about it. It just became part of our lives and something we deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody who's got bits of their limbs missing, they do things a different way.
Yeah.
But still get done what they need done a different way. Just don't know how to answer that one, Nina.
It's just normal. Yeah, it's just normal. Well, it is to me. I can't imagine a life without an allergy and not bothered that I have one. Because it's just normal. Yeah,
yeah,
normality. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't ever get me near a bit of celery. I won't eat it. It's just normal for me. I'm not going to eat celery, no matter how much you drive it away. It's just part of my life. Yeah.
Okay. So when we're looking at Bishop Perrin, so obviously I'm going from quite a young child all the way up to 11, And that's quite a big jump, age jump, really. How was that teaching me as from a 5-year-old to preteen?
Well, it was just a part of our lives. And there are 365 days in every one of those years. So it took a rather long time. And as you grew, we grew with you. And if you had a question, we would answer it. And then we would talk about parties, your birthday parties. I always made a point of doing a special birthday cake for you. And I would show you at the supermarket, well, we can't buy this cake, so we're going to make one, Nina. And we're going to make it so you can eat it. And all the mums at playgroup made birthday cakes. Yeah. And I would ask every one of them if they would please do nut free or find something that you could have as well as their children. Mm-hmm. Or if they really couldn't, I said, well, I'll do one. I'll do one so Nina can have some. Aww. And do an extra cake. It became a bit fun. Well, I'm using that very dryly. Mm-hmm. When you attended Sunday school, let's say, and they would have their little party. Yeah. And then we would spot peanut butter sandwiches and we'd go, ah! You know, nobody had actually, oh, it's all right. I'll take them off her plate. No, you don't understand. We can't have the plate now and you have to wash your hands. Oh dear. It was a constant process of educating people with each new scenario that food was involved in. But that was 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, and things have changed a bit. People are more aware that there are allergies around, more than they were.
Yeah, but how did you deal with Sunday school and educating people there? Because that seemed to me, now you're telling me, a harder job than school, playgroup, all of it.
Yes, it was. But fortunately, the food at Sunday school wasn't that frequent, which was good. About cross-contamination, you shouldn't cut raw meat and then use the same knife for vegetables, etc., etc. But who knows?
Okay. I do remember...
It was just making people aware.
I do remember one time, sorry, Mum, when we were I think it was a church service... And I think it might have been Christmas or something. Well, it was a big thing when they had a big loads of tables out with loads of food. And I picked up a peanut butter sandwich and I bit into it because I thought it was Marmite. And I actually remember this. I remember biting into it. I remember tasting peanut butter. And because I think you'd had it, I know the smell. And so when I bit it, I knew the smell and the taste. So I spat it out on the plate and I came and found you. And I remember we stood over the sink, you rinsed out my mouth, I had Puritan, and you scraped out my tongue with the edge of a plastic cup.
Wow, I'd forgotten that.
No, I remember that. I remember it as if I'm watching it, but I do remember I was it wasn't a pleasant experience having my tongue scraped, but you kept doing it until you were sure that there was nothing left.
Yeah. Wow. You may have vomited. I don't even remember.
I don't even remember
that event.
I don't think I did. I think I didn't swallow anything because I only remember taking one bite and I think it came straight back out onto the plate.
Yes, and you could only recognise it because I've had nuts in the house. You knew the smell. You could only recognise it because you knew about it already. And if I'd never had nuts in the house, you would have eaten that sandwich, wouldn't you?
Probably.
I wondered what it was.
Yeah, because I thought it was Marmite when I saw it. Because on the plate from far away, Marmite and peanut butter in a sandwich looks very similar. And I'm a big fan of Marmite. So.
Yes, and especially when people mix the Marmite with the butter or margarine. And it looks exactly like peanut butter then.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you've got smooth peanut butter, like even more. Yeah. Similar. So yes, I knew it was peanut butter straight away and I don't think I was that old. I must have been 6, 7.
There you go. Sleeping Beauty story thwarted. There you go.
Yeah. And very, very luckily, well, as far as I'm aware, I don't remember a reaction. If I had one, it was it wasn't, it would have only been, you know, some swelling, but yeah. I don't remember my throat swelling at all. Yeah. And I remember we went
Dad may remember
home.
That event more clearly than I do.
Yeah, he might, because I think Dad was more... I think Dad... You scraped my tongue out and things like that. But then I remember us going straight home after that to wait.
Yeah. Yeah, to not have any excited people around you. Yeah.
And just to see if we needed to take further action.
Yeah.
And...
But Puritan did the trick this time.
Yeah. Yes, and that was the... Between then and 16, I didn't have any reactions. So that was quite a long time. No. That was almost 10 years or 10 years.
Yeah. And your second school took it just as seriously as we did.
Yes. Yeah, they were really good, actually. I mean, well, yeah. And also, I was older.
Yeah.
So, and then, so what was it like sending me on school trips?
Well, it was just the same as you being at school, really, except the staff realised that they have 24-hour responsibility for your allergy rather than a few days. Even more.
Yeah. Okay. So the school were even better and even more on high alert. Yeah. When it came to school lunches.
I have to just say, you weren't the only child with an allergy of some kind. They would always have a list of about half a dozen kids that they would have to give special treatment one way or the other.
Okay.
So allergies was, you were just part of that list on those cats.
Had they encountered anaphylaxis before?
I don't know. I don't think so, because we were invited to the training. There might have been another parent there for another allergy that could induce anaphylaxis. I don't remember. I was only focused on you.
Fair enough. Okay, so what was it like... Yeah, well, let's talk back about food, actually, because you said you, well, your attention changed, not your life didn't change, it was your attention changed, and you had to change the way you shopped and the way you served food. Like, what did it change from and to?
It changed from, oh, fancy a bit of this or fancy that, to... I fancy the sausages. Okay, better look to see if there's nut warnings.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the supermarket or the shops that I didn't buy anything into the house that could give you a reaction. That was the first safeguard. Only have stuff in the house that would not cause you problems.
And that was no nut warnings and... So you didn't...
anything that had a nut warning, I just didn't buy.
And how long did that last? When did we start? Yeah. Was it my decision about nut warnings?
Actually, nut warning messages have gone through a metamorphosis. First of all, they put nut warnings on everything, even if the factory may have processed nuts a year ago but don't anymore. They were just blanketing themselves. They just put a blanket, this could contain nuts. So even though the thing had no nut product in it at all, they weren't prepared to go back to the source of the source ingredients to say yes or no. So they just put this blanket stuff on. And a lot of people with allergies, not just nuts, complained about this labeling and said it's unfair that the supermarkets are doing this when there's perfectly edible food for your allergy sufferers that we just can't protect themselves legally. So we started looking into all of that, and it became more reasonable for you to have other choices, and those kind of entered your taste realm as you grew older anyway. And we had a discussion about this, and you did a lot more studying, and I think this is probably the point where you completely owned your allergy, And that was when you did that long essay at your senior school. And it was, but it was only a little, the title of the essay. And it was all about anaphylaxis.
Yes, when I was 16. Yeah. Okay, yeah. we're gonna move on to that later, because there's still the beginning of secondary school to go through even. Okay, so we've got food. So I always had packed lunches at primary school. I did have school dinners at secondary school for a few years though, didn't I?
Was that wasn't the beginning, it was toward the end, wasn't it?
No, it was the other way around. It was at the beginning, and then I decided later when they started saying you had to have school dinners that I didn't want school dinners.
Yes, and in that instance, I can't remember what it was, but there was something about them not checking up for nuts and stuff. I don't remember, but
I think there was
it was
change.
Convenient for us.
Yeah.
Of caterers, perhaps.
Yeah, I think it was a change of caterers.
That was it. The school were no longer cooking and they brought caterers in. That was it. Yeah. And they weren't prepared to negotiate with us, me and your dad.
Yeah.
Rather you don't have school dinners then and remove that problem.
Yeah.
Of having to monitor your food from the school.
Yeah.
Because of third-party catering.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I wasn't the only girl who decided that I was going to have my own lunches. I know there are a couple of other girls who had, like, I think one of the girls had gluten now thinking about it, because she never had bread. I remember that. She never had bread. And she always had these weird cracker things. So it must have been gluten back then. Because she said she was allergic to everything. So probably gluten and other things. And then what was it like? I mean, were you worried about sending me off to secondary school?
No, because, again, you had all the forms that had to be filled in. You had a chat with the nurse at the school. And it was all very processed, just like it was at your junior infant school.
Yeah, yeah. I always met the nurse on the first day. I remember that.
Yeah.
And I'd always go introduce myself to the if there was a new nurse.
Yeah.
And say hello.
And that was something you'd organised with the nurse, I think, or the nurse said to you.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of both, because I think you always checked up that I knew who she was and she knew who I was. You did ask me, have I gone and met the nurse? And when there was a new nurse, have you gone and seen her? How does she know who you are? Have you, told her about... Yeah, I think...
Yes,
yeah,
yes, I would have done that. Yeah. I don't remember, but I know I would have done that.
Yeah, I definitely think you did. You always made sure I was doing the things I should be doing.
Yeah, and it would have been easy for me to do it, but actually you doing it is all part of the process of you taking ownership on it.
Yeah, definitely. What about going out to dinner? Or how did we manage that when I was a child and then as I grew older?
Oh, that was actually a joyous thing for you to do. Yes, it was a joy for us to take you out to a restaurant, because we automatically discount Thai Chinese, because I've seen some of the lorries pull up outside those restaurants and there's great big barrels of peanut oil. So I'm thinking, I don't think we're going to go into those restaurants. But we would actually go to the restaurants ourselves, first of all, and talk to the people who manage it, if not ran it.
Okay, so talk to other restaurants other than Asian, so Chinese,
yeah,
Indian.
So Dad and I, we would go and say, how do you deal with this? And they would tell us. And they said, we would say, well, we'd love to bring our daughter over for a meal. Would you be able to help us with a meal that she can eat? And they said, yes, sure. So we did that. And I would say to you, would you like to order the food and let them know that you're a nut allergy sufferer? Sometimes you didn't want to, and sometimes you did. But that's another part of the process of your ownership.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just another part of your life that you needed to learn about, just like tying shoelaces or reading a book or wiping your shoes on the mat or doing the homework or having a board game, having some fun.
Yeah.
Going out to a adventure park, whatever.
Yeah.
It was all a part of your life. And we dealt with it as it came up.
So how did you and Dad, like, what did you say to each other? What did you talk about to do with the allergy? My allergy, the family allergy in the end, really.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it was good to be able to talk with Dad because of his intolerance to nuts, but also his asthma too. And we would talk about the events at the school, or, you know, when my aunt gave you that cake with nuts in. We'd just talk about it and gain support from each other,
mm-hmm.
that we're doing an okay job. And I think that's important, to be able to share this with somebody who absolutely believes your scenario as a parent with an allergy mm-hmm. sufferer, and is right prepared to stand in that corner with you and get on the boxing gloves if you have to.
Mm.
So it is important to have people on your side, definitely.
And how was it with our family? My grandparents on both sides, aunts, uncles, because we've already mentioned one aunt. How was that educating the rest of our family?
Okay. Well, my older sister was good because her boys have problems, and she herself had problems with eating certain things because they just, I don't know, but she had problems anyway. And the education of my mother, your grandmother, was good, only because she herself in the past has challenged her disbelief about allergies. And my mother was much better behaved, and she believed me right away when I said you've been tested, especially when I showed her the letter from the consultant.
Mm-hmm.
She took it on board straight away, and she was fine. I was less sure about your dad's mum.
Yes. So
far less sure about her.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, my heritage is half Indian and half English. Mum's English and Dad's Indian. And
to let the rest of you know, there are hardly any people in India with nut allergies.
Yeah.
And this is where my husband's parents come from psychologically.
Well, nut allergy. Nobody has nut allergy. Yeah. Well, allergies are just not a thing in India.
Yeah.
Even when so
what I did with that one, when it came time for me to be taught how to use the EpiPen by the community nurse, I arranged to be at my in-laws' house,
mm-hmm.
and that they both would be at the meeting with the nurse, because I was still in a state of shock.
So this is
that I would have to use this
three, wasn't it?
Yeah, that I would have to use this frightening implement on my delicate little girl should the need arise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the needle inside that thing was as long as one of your fingers. It was frightening. Anyway, so I decided that this appointment should be at my in-laws' house because my in-laws had never seen me in front of a nurse before. So I thought, well, what better time? Because she has to know, and she has to know that the medical profession take this very seriously, and she's got to be exposed to that. So I decided that's where the meeting was going to happen. And even if her Indianness kind of tried to gloss it over, the medical profession in this country would assure them that it most certainly is a serious issue and she needs to take it as such. And I achieved my aim.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of those points where I wasn't sure whether she would get the seriousness of it if it came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So I had to find a way of somebody she respected and trusted and wouldn't disbelieve. And I'm quite certain that all the medical professionals that have to deal with general public vis-a-vis allergies would be more than happy to do that for anybody. If any carer parent had a cause for concern that somebody they had to leave this child in the care of didn't believe, I am quite certain the medical profession would help by arranging those interviews in the presence of that person, just to get the seriousness of it across.
Yeah,
I was just going to say to you that the Indianness in inverted commas, of your grandparents worked in your favour too, because you remember Archie's father used to be a surgeon?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So she absolutely and totally trusted the medical profession and anybody who speaks from it. So that was my main reason for having the interview with the nurse at Ajay and others, because fortunately for you, the Indian-ness, Ajay was the only one who did the cooking in that house.
Yeah, that's true.
So if she trusted the professionals that you must never have any nuts, she was going to do her utmost with her business nuts and her cooking. She's been absolutely fabulous when it comes to that. I've never had a doubt about her since that meeting with the nurse.
Yeah, she's never included it in her cooking. It's only since I've been older, actually, that she'll ask me if I can have something that clearly has nuts in. But she never gives it to me and she never cooks with it. It's just sweets that she's got in the house. And I'm like, no, Archie, I can't have it. It's got nuts in. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But that's just she's just out of practice because we don't live there anymore. And I've moved away. So I don't live nearby and I'm not there every week like I used to be as a kid. Okay. So what is like the one piece of advice you'd give to parents of a newly diagnosed child with severe allergies?
Well, first thing I would say is sit down and regroup and think. You've really got to give yourself time to sit down and think about what it's going to mean to you for however long you are responsible for that child's problems. The other thing I would say, trust your instincts. Nobody knows that child better than you. Mm-hmm. You have daily care. You're 24/7 with the child. You know what's right, what's normal, and what's not. And also, let your protective instincts come out. If you don't trust somebody, you don't put your child in that person's care. Or if you have to put your child in that person's care, you make sure they're scared enough to do the right thing. It's you. You will be treating your child's life as though it were your own. There's nobody else who can fight for your child except you. So if you feel you need to fight, you fight.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep thinking of the phrase, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. But it is that kind of fire.
Yeah.
And perhaps we'll talk about that, Nina, when we talk about the exposure you did have.
Yes. Next time we will definitely talk about that. Okay, just before we finish. So you said your first one was, you know, take time to figure out what it means to you. What do you mean by that? Like the fact your child has an allergy.
Well, I remember sitting down with Dad for, I think we must have spent a week or just sitting down in the evenings and thinking, my God, what have we got to do now? Mm-hmm. Well, we're certainly probably going to have to cook from scratch at home.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it this way. We'll do it that way. And well, who has to look after her? We have to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is closing off the danger avenues or identifying the danger avenues.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you know what? If anybody is in the military and they have to see a general going to war or preparing for war, it's basically what it is.
Yeah.
You have to look at the strategies. You have to plan for events.
And like how did you think further ahead? Did you, or was this purely, you know, like reaction-based thinking? Or did you plan for, you know, what you wanted for me?
I would say that the reaction was the shock, mm-hmm. but the response is what we decided to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to sit down after the initial reaction of shock. You have to sit down and work out your response as to how you're going to deal with this from now on,
mm-hmm.
with those primarily in the child's sphere.
Yeah.
And just take it one day at a time. Identify the what needs to be done, what cannot be done, or what shouldn't happen now. And just work it out day to day. Unfortunately, 1 minute follows the next, follows the next, follows the next. Nobody can be in two events at the same time. So you only have one event to deal with at that moment in time. So it's not that it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
On a minute by minute basis. There is time to plan and to work out strategies. So although it's initially shocking and you feel totally overwhelmed to start with.
Yeah.
It can be planned for.
Yeah.
And God bless them. Children, when they're young, they sleep rather a lot. So you can do a lot of planning when they're asleep. Okay. And you say, okay, we've got this party in 2 weeks' time. Well, we better talk to them. Yeah. Okay.
That's great.
Take one day, trust your instincts, and fight for your child's life as and how you think you need to.
Oh, that's great.
Because it's your child's life.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
And so when it comes to parents not feeling confident, you just, what do you do? If a parent in themselves doesn't feel like they are a confident person, do you just...
Well, because there's that wonderful organisation called the Anaphylaxis Association, Society, or whatever it is, I would get in touch with other people who are dealing with the allergy, gain a support circle. Mm-hmm. Go talk to people. There's many more people around to talk to than I had, I have to tell you. Yeah, just go and talk to people. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure anybody could find parents of allergy sufferers on the internet by just Googling. Is there a parent who has a child with nut allergies in the Twickenham area or the London area or the Blackpool area or whatever? Mm-hmm. They can just Google the whole sentence and they will find somebody or be directed.
Yeah.
To somebody who may be even two doors down in the same street. You never know.
You never know. Oh, that's fab.
God, the blessing of the internet now. Blimey, I wish it had been around when you were small. There's so much information available for people these days. So much. And the education is the thing that's most important when newly diagnosed children are in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Educating yourself and becoming a most important thing. They never have to have a sleeping beauty.
Yes. Oh, this is great. Thank you, Mum. So there you have it. That was the second part interview with my mum. And thank you everyone for joining me. I really hope you enjoyed these episodes and the last one, this one, and listening to all about my mum's experiences, my experiences, and how she dealt with suddenly finding out that her daughter had a really severe allergy. And when it comes to how I manage my allergy, I really think that actually pretty much all of it, especially when I was a child, is down to my parents. And this foundation I had as a child is what helped me own it as an adult. Because obviously your children aren't going to live with you forever. And I haven't lived with my parents for quite a while now. So I've had to look after it on my own. I've had to look after it when I was at university, when I was traveling. And I traveled all over Europe and I went to India. So I really had to be very vigilant. And I think for me, my parents making it a normal part of our lives, as well as making sure that I practiced taking ownership of it, like being in the restaurants and asking whether I wanted to talk to the waiters and tell them about my allergy. And my mum was right. Sometimes I did and sometimes I didn't. But at least I knew I could always do it. And also making it a part of my life, that goes back to the normality of it. Having an allergy for me is normal and it will always be a part of my life. And I've just accepted it. So some of you also know that I had a reaction because I talked about it on the blog just before Christmas. And if any of you would like to read this, the blog link will be in the show notes for this episode, which is eatallergysafe.com/episode13. And that's the number 13. And I think also having a reaction also made me take very much ownership of my allergy. And you probably heard my mum talk about, well, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And
my parents were definitely like this. They were very angry and shocked and all of it. So next week, I'm going to be talking to both my mum and my dad about the times I've had nuts, the times I, well, the one time I've ended up in hospital, and then the very near misses that we've had. So look out for the episode next week with both my mum and my dad. And make sure you subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio so that you can get it straight to your phone or your computer while you're sleeping. Also, something my mum mentioned that I wanted to touch on is about the support. And I think what I've been hearing from a lot of you allergy parents and on a lot of the Facebook groups I'm a member of is also feeling alone and not knowing what to do or how to go about handling allergies and get help and get support. And my mum was totally right. Get in touch with Allergy Anaphylaxis Campaign, Allergy UK. Get on the Facebook groups and talk to people who are in your shoes. And this is also why I started Eat Allergy Safe and why I do what I do. Because there aren't a lot of places out there where you can hear from someone who's actually lived through or is living with an allergy in their day-to-day life. They've had it all their life. And I wanted to build out Eat Allergy Safe so that you don't feel alone, so that you know it's totally possible for your allergic child to have a happy, a healthy life, to do all the normal things. Get into, you know, go to the school plays, go on the school trips, you know, have all the normal school, you know, fallings out with their friends, you know, all of that. And come out the other side as a confident, you know, adult who can handle their allergies in their day-to-day life. And one of the projects I'm really passionate about at the moment is my parents' guide. And this is all about how you can help your child become confident with allergies and also providing you with support. So the aim of this whole parents' guide, and it's a series of tutorials, it's got recipes, it's got videos, it's got audio, it's got so much to help you empower yourself, your allergic child, help you and your allergic child be confident in managing these allergies. And it's also about making food fun, making activities fun, and teaching you methods to tell other people about your child's allergies so that they listen to you. And I mean, that's just the main bulk of it, but there's so much more, and I'm adding stuff to it all the time. So the Group 1 registration actually closed before Christmas, and I can't thank everyone enough who signed up, and I hope you're enjoying yourselves on the course so far. I think from the activity I'm seeing from my side, the back end of the website, you're really enjoying it, and you're getting really involved. So can't thank you enough, and if anyone's needs any help, feel free to email or message me through the website. But I have the Group 2 registration open. And if you didn't get the chance to sign up before Christmas, you can do so today. And I have a really fantastic early bird offer for you, which is available only until the end of January. That's the end of January 31st, 2017. And until the end of January, this course is available for a third off the original price. But this is only available until the end of the month, so make sure you sign up before it's too late. The link for this Parents Guide Allergy course is eatallergysafe.com/allergycourse. And that's all lowercase. And that's the direct link to go to the sign up page. And you'll also get more information about what the course is about, what you'll get out of it. You'll be able to see a little thing about the different sections that I'll be talking about. If you're not at your computer right now or at your phone, or if you're driving, don't worry, the link will be in the show notes, which is eatallergysafe.com/episode13, and that's the number 13. So make sure you check the page out, sign up, and remember, a third off the original price, it's going to be $20 instead of $30, and that's a massive discount. So yes, make sure you check it out and sign up. And for everyone who's been getting in touch with your stories as I've been doing this podcast, please keep doing so. It is so amazing. And the more stories we get, then maybe we can start sharing some of them. And you can leave me a comment with your story on the show notes. You can just leave a comment in at the bottom of the page. You can also message or write on the Facebook page, which is at Eat Allergy Safe. Or you can send me an email at admin@eatallergysafe.com. So that's it for today. And next week, I will be talking to both my parents and you'll hear about how we've managed reactions. So yeah, it's kind of a serious topic, but you'll hear all about how my parents dealt with things. Okay, thanks for listening. I will speak to you next week.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Moda. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make the crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.